Phone off the hook, shirt off, pants off, try hard mega nerd mode. Time to dotes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 7th episode of Stories from the Side Shop. I have here with me Kelly, Vagina Monster, Odell. How are ya?
Doing great. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing well, too. What's going on?
You know, just relaxing, getting ready to play some Dota tonight. Hopefully get some more wins. How about yourself?
Winning's fun. How do you plan on achieving that?
Usually my go-to, especially like Keeper of the Light's been pretty good for me lately. Clock's always good. Mirana, those are my best. Luna's kind of overpowered right now. I like Luna.
I didn't know you played Keeper.
Oh yeah, Keeper's one of my best. Actually, Keeper's my 56.15 win percentage.
That sounds good.
Yeah, out of 650 games, I better be good at them.
That's a lot of games on the old Keeper.
Oh, he's dominant. Nobody knows how to play against him.
But I assume you do because you play him so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
So like tell the folks how to play Keeper and how to play against Keeper.
How to beat my best hero?
Well, give them the whole story. Tell them how you play Keeper and then we'll go from there.
Okay. I always play Keeper, like I'll begin with a mechanism. Great stats, keeps you in lane, like really helps out your carries. But the main item, like you're going to kind of rush, is that Ags. And once you get the Scepter up, as long as it's daytime, you can just push. And I mean, you never have to heal. You can always bring people in, leave your ultimate on all the time. It's pretty powerful. It's like a 375 heal, I think.
Only during the day, though, right?
Yes, only during the day, which is exactly how he's countered. Night Stalker, who can turn things to night, just wrecks. Even as a good keeper, it's going to mess you up pretty bad.
Yeah.
Because he can take away your daytime.
He's also pretty squishy. Like, that's always been my problem playing Keeper.
Well, his blinding light's what saves him.
That's true.
And you can't chase him because of mana leak. So, and one of the best things you can also do is once you start like pushing people off the cliffs with the blinding light, I can't tell you how many times I push people out of spawn when they're trying to defend the tier 3. Just kick them right out of there, then mana leak them as they try to run back in.
That sounds mean.
Oh, that's great. I love a monkey king who thinks he's being all cute hiding in the trees and just blast him right out. Suddenly looks stupid, stand out in the open. Everyone gets mad at him, flames their own teammate.
What's the build in terms of talent?
Now, what do you mean talent?
The tree, I'm sorry. Like the 10, 15, 20, 25.
Okay. Let me kind of pull that up. Like, Keeper is one of those heroes that it's as much about items as it is anything.
Sure.
I like his build. I'm trying to think of his new tree. So his first one's, you're pretty much always going to go movement speed at level 10. It's plus 20 movement speed. Plus 6 strength is nice, but your escape is what's important. And then it goes plus 20% XP gain, and then negative 25 respawn time. Kind of just depends on how you're doing. If you're behind, I'll get the 20% XP, but usually the negative 25 respawn time.
Sure.
If we're kicking ass, I'll probably get XP, though, if I think they're going to push a lot. Like, Keeper is kind of the guy that can defend a base almost completely by himself, or at least buy time for everybody to get back.
Yeah, that makes sense. Especially if you have Ags.
Oh, absolutely. And then next is 7 armor. You can get negative, or you can get 10% magic resistance, but I almost just go armor all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just because so many people like to try to jump on you.
Yeah.
And then next is 200 illuminate damage / heal, or 300 cast range. I got to go with the illuminate damage. The 200's too good. The heal alone's like 150 on top of that.
Okay.
It's like 525 heal.
That sounds like that's a good like AoE heal as well. Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, hell yeah. If you can drop the mech on top of that, like, he's tough to kill if you do it right.
I dig it.
Nice.
So we played a game together not too long ago.
Yeah, we did. That's one of those fun games. I assume you're talking about the Razor Weaver 2.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I'll ask you this, and I know I kind of mentioned this the other day.
Yeah.
What have you found to be the best method to get people out of the jungle when you're winning?
Right. Well, hold on. Let's set the stage here a little bit. we were playing, so I was on Undying. You were on Skywrath. And then I'm blanking on the third person in our party. What was his name?
I think it was Bioacid.
Yes. He played a Wraith King. And this is very exciting for me because this is literally the first time that a tri-lane has worked for me.
That's awesome.
I think I can pretty confidently say it was my first successful tri-lane.
Very cool.
So yeah, it was me, you, and Wraith King in the safe lane. And we did great. You harassed. We were up against a Slark / Earth Spirit / Lion. They didn't know what they were doing. We kicked their booty, controlled the wave equilibrium, hit our pulls pretty well. I know there was a point where both of us had better levels than their offlaner, so like we were really making good utilization of the map.
Absolutely.
Where the game got messed up was the next stage of the game, where you would typically take that momentum that you built in the lane stage and hopefully snowball and just go ahead and have an easy game. We were playing with a Razor, right? And a Weaver? It was? Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, like, two really good tempo heroes.
You'd think so.
And so your question is, how do you motivate them to get out of the jungle? Because what happened was, neither of those guys wanted to fight. For some reason, Razor wanted to hang out in the jungle. Weaver, I'm not really sure what he was trying to do. He wasn't really farming, wasn't really with the rest of the team. Kind of got lost a lot. And yeah, it's very difficult to communicate to your teammates effectively. Essentially to say like, hey, stop dicking around. We have an advantage. Let's use the advantage. And I think part of what makes it difficult is that it's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch your like hard-earned advantage like slowly slip away. So I think for me personally, like, it's hard just to keep like to prevent myself from getting triggered. So that is, I think, is something to work on, is just to work on like channeling your inner slacks and like trying to get people on the same page with like a jolly tone instead of like an angry like fuck you, you're a dumbass type of motivation. Yeah, like not flaming.
Okay.
I don't know. Does that, I don't know if that really answers your question.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely think kind of staying an even keel. Like if you go over the top, it just becomes like a pissing match.
Right.
Whereas trying to, like I try to relate information. Like for example, in the game that we played, trying to tell our Razor and our Weaver who we had good starts. We were kind of controlling the map.
Mm-hmm.
We had good escape, we had good attack, but we kept missing at least one or two of them.
Right.
And we try to relate to them, hey, they have an AM. Our Wraith King is going to drop off pretty fast with that AM.
Right.
They have a Slark who carries as hard as anybody. They just had too much late game.
Absolutely.
So forcing a jungle was not the intelligent play, but it was absolutely the play we did. And the Slark, which we pretty much dominated, actually came in to have a pretty good game in the end, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just because we let him have time, let him have items.
Right.
I mean, he had the fourth lowest gold per minute out of everybody. Like, he didn't have gold.
Yeah, it's kind of just the nature of the hero. If you give him enough time, he'll come around.
Yeah, he'll snowball into something, get kills. And then the AM, who was not very good, just got out of hand because we didn't want to punish him with advantage.
Right.
Which I will point out, that's why I like Coddle too.
Because,
Like, hey, this guy won't stop jungling. Cool, I just TP'd him in. He's with us now. Like, you can run all you want, but I'm going to keep deeping you back.
That's really funny, actually. I like that, because you kind of have, direct influence over another hero.
Absolutely. It allows us to kind of control where everybody's going.
Mm-hmm.
Or in case, like, somebody keeps getting lost, like in that game, Weaver, who, like, repeatedly, like, I'm going to solo push. Okay, well, Weaver died.
Sure.
Like, this way I can be like, okay, I'm going to TP him out before he dies this time. Right. Seems all confused.
I think the flip side is that, like, so trying to put myself in, like, the Weaver's shoes, I think it's hard getting told the way you're playing is wrong.
Yeah.
And so I think that's another thing that I know I can definitely work on, is like, if people are flaming me, or, you know, well, hopefully they're not flaming me, but if they're telling me to do something, I should try to listen. And even if that communication comes in the form of flaming, I should at least like try to reflect on like what it is that I'm doing in the game that's making them mad, and like go from there. Like, at least pause for, like, some self-reflection.
Like, I think that's good. I mean, I'll be honest, I've played with quite a few people now that from the We Like Dota community, and everybody's, like, a game begins, and unlike any other game, you have three people go, like, I want to play support. That hardly ever happens.
Right.
But you have a lot more people that are open to communication and trying to get better, trying to be a good team.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, I'm trying to take some of that and to keep it away from like me flaming in a game to right. actually promote good teamwork, to promote how we're going to win this game. And that way you're not battling like half the people splitting up, or, okay, this guy refuses to come, so we'll just go to him.
Right.
I'm trying to do that.
For sure.
I think it's a good change to make,
yeah.
Even though it's not very easy to.
No, it is not easy at all. But but that's the only way that you'll be able to achieve it, you know?
Yeah. Well, and like I kind of have a unique experience too, because I was about 4 to 5K for most of my time playing Dota.
Hot damn.
Oh yeah. So for like the longest time, most of the people I played with were about 5-6K.
Mm-hmm.
And then the AM Storm Spirit meta came out and I just plummeted. Like I got down to 2.7K.
Oh whoa.
In ranked and 2.9 in solo.
Yeah.
And it's one of those that like every single game I had an AM who didn't know how to play AM or a Storm Spirit who would like go clear across the map and immediately die.
Right.
Buy back, do the same damn thing. And just like, no. Then I play against them the next game and they're just dominating everybody.
Yeah.
So I hit a bad luck that, well, a bad streak that was like for like 2 months, I couldn't win a game.
Jeez.
And then finally the meta was over and reality came back and like I've slowly started creeping up. But when I started playing with a lot of people, I was just like 2.8, 2.9.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, I'm finally back up to like 3.9 solo and 4.2 or 3 party.
Nice.
And yeah, it's the grind.
Yeah, what's that been like?
It's been fun. I mean, obviously I'm winning a lot more than I'm losing.
Yeah.
So it's fun. But it's, you know, I mean, part of it's kind of jumping around, finding new people to play with and just keeping it light, keeping it fun.
Mm.
I mean, communication, I've been trying a couple new things, just see how it works out. I've been playing a lot of like Mirana as a roaming support.
Yeah.
That's some good wins right there. I can't tell you how many times I feed the carry a kill within the first like 2 minutes just by landing an arrow.
Right.
And as long as he's paying attention, it's all his.
Yeah. It's a really powerful skill shot, which like isn't an obvious thing to say, but in the early levels especially, you can make a big difference.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's kind of, you figure out what you're best at. Like, I think you're good at follow-up.
Yeah.
You seem to be really good at, like, okay, this is what we're going to do at this time, and then, like, following through with the game plan.
Yeah.
Which is kind of why, like, Undying kind of heroes, like, what would you say your favorite is?
Favorite is, well... I like Undying a lot. I've obviously made that clear on previous podcasts. I also really like Chaos Knight in more, because like obviously because carry is fun. in other supports, I also like Bane. I found that at my skill level, he has a very large spell range. Is that the right word? Like his, yeah. So folks like don't understand that like I can very easily punish them being out of position is what I found with Bane. And I think that's fun.
See, and that's kind of what I was thinking and kind of getting at. All three of those heroes kind of lend themselves towards a team fight.
Yeah, for sure.
And really kind of helps you push your game, I guess you'd say. All three of those don't really jungle that well.
Nope. Mm-mm.
And that's kind of something I always try to keep in mind is that just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. And that's the change I'm trying to make too, is like coming into a game. Well, I want to play Mirana. Well, if we already have a Sand King or a Pudge on the team, I'm going to try not to pick another kind of roaming hero or a soft carry.
Right.
But I mean, it also helps too. Like if you play an Undying, I know you're going to cancel out any Pudge play. So, like, if I see a Pudge, I'd love to see you pick up Undying. It just screws his hooks.
Sure. Would you say that you play more of like a roaming slash like offlane? Like what do you enjoy?
Oh, absolutely. Trying to go offlane is my favorite. Clock's my favorite hero. I think I play a very good Clock. So
big secret, everybody. This dude's good at Clock. He has like 9 million games with Clock. Ban it out in the next We Like Dota League, whatever.
I think everyone figured that out after like one game. I think I got one entire game with him. And then suddenly it's like first pick ban, like Clock. I'm like, come on.
My favorite part of you playing Clock, like whenever we play together, is that there will inevitably be like, I would say like 3 or 4 instances in the game where you'll like hit a ridiculous hook shot, like do your cogs, do everything, and then be like, guys, what? Where is everybody? Come on, guys.
Absolutely. Because if nobody goes, you look like a dumbass. You're out of position. What the hell are you doing? Oh, man. And the best part is usually leading up to that hook is me going, hey guys, can we get a pick off?
And we'll go, no, I don't know. We can't see him. We're scared. And you'll just be like, shut up. I did it.
Okay, I'm out, guys. And it's usually, okay, for like a perfect example, one of my favorite things to do is, especially even as Clock, I'll protect wards.
Mm.
If we have like one support, mm-hmm. I know for a fact that he's going to have trouble protecting his wards, sentries, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'll punish people who are trying to pick him off.
Right.
I think as a team, like, we have to recognize the fact that they're dewarding as like two people. It's usually like 2 or 3 that will kind of protect them. So to punish that, like, you're basically predicting people that are going to be out of position. It's the same as a smoke.
Right.
You think that it's going to give you the element of surprise.
Right.
Same thing with diving in when they're trying to deward. Usually they're a low ground. Mm-hmm. I'm always looking to punish that.
And you know that you have vision there. Like,
absolutely.
You have a vision advantage. So, yeah, that makes sense. That's, like, the type of Dota thinking that's on the next level from where I'm at.
Well, like, you say that, but there's definitely times in the game, like, even games that we're just talking about now, that I'm getting ready to go in, we go in, and I look back, it's just you and me. And then we got two guys lost. It's like, I'm trying to last hit this creep. Like, what? Like, let him go. Like, it's fine if you don't get that last hit on the creep.
Let it go. Yeah. Yep. Well, that's just because, you know, I'm a ride or die, you know.
Yeah.
No, I'm just a lemming. I just follow.
No, but I mean, it's making the right play. And that's the thing with Clock. Like, there's countless times that you're going to make the correct play and you can absolutely be flamed. Because somebody like, what the hell are you doing? Why did you go in?
Right.
Like, well, yeah, of course I'm going to look dumb if we don't do anything.
But yeah.
I know Clock's going to fall off. My initiation's going to fall off.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely the biggest challenge when playing an initiator in pubs. It's just like, even if you make the right read, you don't know what your team is going to do.
Absolutely. And I mean, communication, like, I like to try to figure out pretty fast if we're going to be able to communicate.
Right.
The second best method is usually to help somebody pretty early on.
Mm-hmm.
Because if my carries, okay, if nobody's in the lane, even if they don't have vision, if the carry's not in lane, he's in the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many times I play with a carry who's like, they warded our jungle. That's why they keep picking me off.
Right.
No, it's because we have like nobody in lane.
Right.
Of course they know you're in the jungle. That's where you're going to be. That's not an impressive deduction. That's obvious to a lot of people.
Right.
So if I can dive in and save them when I know they're out of position, and I won't say that I'm baiting them, but yeah, I'm totally baiting them. Like, that's a great way to get people on board for maybe an early push.
Yeah, it's, yeah, building trust in a way.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I was going to say, what do you think? Like, I mean, we've played together enough now.
Yeah.
What do you think, like, my style is?
Definitely, I would say, well, honestly, I've been, like, so impressed by the versatility of your heroes. So, like, previously, like, when we were first starting to play together, I knew that you played, like, Mirana, Clock, Darkseer, like, you just generally do the offlane type thing.
Yeah.
But then, like, and you're great with that, like, Initiator or, oh my gosh, the Purple Puncher. what's his face?
I think you're saying Darkseer?
Yeah. Darkseer.
Okay. That's awesome.
Just like kind of like like big vacuum walls, like big hook shots, big arrows. But then the other day on your Skywrath, like that's a very different type of hero. Like still very skill centric, like making sure your ult is in the right place, comboing your ult with, you know, whatever, the slow and the silence and spamming out your Q. So it was cool to lane with you because I hadn't really played with you in when you were playing that kind of lane support. So it was cool to like get a couple tips on like when to pull and just get to watch like effective harass.
Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, we were playing against a Slark in offlane, and both you and I were like level 3 when he was level 2.
Oh yeah.
And then next thing we were level 6 when he was level like 4 or 5.
Oh yeah,
we did. And then finally we had to go help out other lanes, and that's when it started going bad.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I like a hero, and Undyne's like a great example of a hero that can kind of force its will. Like, there is no reason an offlane should get experience.
Right.
Like, if you're doing your job, he should not get experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And especially when I can combo with you, I think we killed him, what, probably 3 or 4 times in the first 10 minutes?
Yeah, we did good. We did a good job.
Yeah, that was good. but I mean, it was your spam. I mean, that strength steal alone, like, sets him up for doesn't realize how much damage it actually does.
Oh, yeah. That's the best.
Yeah. That's a good hero for you.
Yeah. It's,
especially, I mean, the tombs are on point. It allowed us to push early.
The thing I like about Undying is that, like you said, he has good lane presence, and he's pretty easy to execute. Like, it's, you know, your Q has a nice AoE. Tombstone is a tombstone, and then you have like a heal, or you can use it offensively, but like just make sure to use it when you're not alone, otherwise you look like an idiot.
We're in a position that they're just gonna run away from,
right?
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you dropped it most of the time, you dropped it with vision blocking it. So they didn't just have, like, easy access the whole time to kill it, too.
Yeah.
That's kind of huge. You got, I want to say you went Crimson Guard?
Yeah, I did.
Or did you go Pipe?
No, I went Crimson, yeah.
See, and Crimson was kind of huge for the team fight, too, which sucked because we didn't actually do it.
Yeah.
But it really kind of hurts AM and Slark, for that matter.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it... Yeah, so, the thing I wanted to say about that game that I found really helpful was actually after we were done, you and I talked for a bit, and I found that process of, like, talking with you after like incredibly helpful.
Well, I remember when we got done, you're like, "Oh, I'm just too triggered right now. Like, I can't do it. I can't do this." And
I was so pissed.
Yep, it's one of these things that, like, letting it go.
Yeah,
I mean, it always cracks me up when I hear like you guys and like Sabone talking, and he's like, "Oh no, I was too upset. I couldn't play ranked, or this guy got to me. I haven't played in a week." Yeah. Or like 2 weeks, I just can't do it. Like, I can't not play a ranked game. Like, yeah. I enjoy that. I mean, it's the competition mm-hmm. that I like, which is fun, because I was kind of hearing you talk about this in some of the recent podcasts, is that it kind of relates to, like, sports.
Oh, yeah. Let's transition to this, because we need to knock down a few barriers, or not barriers, misconceptions about the We Like Dota community and video games at large.
Okay.
I've done some light creeping on your Twitter, and you're a tall, handsome, athletic man.
Why, so, thank you.
Yeah, so please proceed with your previous point.
Oh, well, I mean, well, put it like this. I'm about 6'6", about 270. Played basketball in college.
Oh, which college?
Played 2 years at Fort Scott Community College.
Nice.
So D1 JUCO, and then finished up at Peru State up in Nebraska.
Heck yeah.
So they free college, paid for everything, tried to do it the smart way.
That's the dream.
Yep. it's what I wanted.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is I've always kind of translated Dota as a similar, like, 5-on-5 game. It's all teamwork. It's all communication.
Yeah.
It's absolutely all skill-based. So I do think it's pretty similar to sports in a way. Like, the competition, how everybody goes about it. Like, not many video games do you see. One, when was the last time you saw, like, a kid playing? I don't mean like a 5-year-old, but like even like a 15-year-old.
Right.
I cannot remember the last game that, like, someone came on the mic and like, "Hi, I'm Brad, I'm 12. Like, like, oh God. Like, no, I've never seen that. Probably in 5 years, I've not seen that.
In Dota.
In Dota, absolutely. Yeah. You hop on Xbox and 5 seconds later,
sure,
Brad's telling you that his mom's mad at you or something. I don't know.
I like that
your name's offensive.
I like that you picked the name Brad.
I don't know why I went Brad, but it sounded right.
I'm going to go ahead and just put this disclaimer out for all our young listeners. We love you. We're glad you play Dota. If you're don't let old man Kelly here scare you off, okay?
No, but I mean, it's, and here's the thing, even obviously there are great players that are young.
For sure.
It's just one of these games that it tends to lend itself towards an older crowd. Seen a video game that people get so into, mm-hmm. like, emotionally.
Right.
Like, I don't ever remember a time playing, like, Xbox where, like, I've seen people for 30 minutes after a game just flame each other nonstop. Or it also goes the opposite way. I've probably got 10, 15 good friends that I play with on Dota
mm-hmm.
that, like, I've consistently played with.
Yeah.
When I was living in Nebraska, I would still get on and play with my brother.
Right.
Stingray Shuffle.
Stingray.
Shout out.
Stingray Shuffle.
And always fun, always a good time. It's a way that, like, we'd still hang out.
Yeah.
Even when he was living in Kansas and I was in Nebraska.
Nice. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's just fun. I mean, it's that kind of game. But to me, it's a stress reliever.
Ah, see, Brian would disagree. Brian finds it all very stressful.
Oh yeah, I've heard he's like, I just couldn't handle it. Like, I mean, it's funny because you guys are so different. like it gets to you, but the whole time you're like, well, I'm trying here, like like that's all I'm gonna be able to do is just try.
Yeah, well, Well, you know, I'd like to have Brian on here sometime. Because yeah. I'd like to ask him, like, about that more. Because I agree with you. Dota, for me, links pretty directly with my experience as an athlete. I played soccer in college as well.
Nice. What college?
Yeah. It's a tiny school in New York. It's called Bard College.
Oh, okay.
Shouts to anyone at all from that college who's listening. They're like, yeah, no. Nobody is.
There's one guy like, yeah! I know what he's talking about. Okay, same thing with, like, Peru State.
Yeah, nah. But, it taps into the same things that I enjoy about soccer, which, I mean, aside from the physicality, which I enjoy a lot, but that's obviously separate from a video game.
Yeah.
But, like, the mental aspect, the need for complete concentration, the communication, the mental effort, the competitiveness of it, those are appealing to me.
See, I like that. I mean, I look at it kind of the same way. I mean, you don't have the physical effect of playing a sport.
Right.
But when you get done, like, you're just either exhausted or you're just like, yep, that was good. Yeah. Completely satisfied.
Oh, yeah, if you're trying, like, if you're playing just to, like, mess around, then it's maybe a little bit different. But if you're playing, like, competitively, you'll probably be pretty mentally tired because it's, like, about an hour of pretty strenuous mental effort.
Nope, I completely agree. And it's one of the few things that you're ever going to do that it takes all of your focus.
Right.
Like, I have a TV going on in the background, I will not see any of it.
No.
Like, there's like, okay, I died for a minute, maybe I'll look up. But for the most part, if you look away in the middle of a game for 20 seconds, odds are you're dead.
You're screwed.
That's exactly when they catch on to, like, hey, why is he standing still? Okay, right. That's a perfect time to hook him. Sound like you're getting punished.
Right.
I always feel bad because whenever my girlfriend, like, comes down, like, hey, like, what do you want for dinner? Or blah, blah, blah. And, like, I'll look away. I'm like, oh, I'm dead. I'm like, she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, I'd love to pretend this was all you, but no, I was out of position anyway.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's a struggle, man. Game is hard.
Oh, it absolutely is. I get a kick out of it, too, because, like, when I got my brother into Dota, his first thing was, what? It's only one map.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I'm going to play this game for, like, a week and get tired of it.
Right.
And, like, 5 years later, he's finally slowed down playing to where he's like, yeah, I'll play once a week, maybe.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
But for the rest of us, they changed the map a little bit, and I'm like, I don't know which, what's up, what's down.
Yeah.
Like, I'm lost.
That was a time of crisis.
It was. You have no idea how much I used to love, like, two maps ago, the original map.
Mm-hmm.
With Coddle, I could pull through, like, I could hit two waves with each blast.
Oh.
So not only could I stack them, but I could farm them twice as fast, and it was amazing.
Sounds broken.
Oh, it totally was. But nobody liked Coddle, so it was okay.
It was, yeah. Well, so wait. So you mentioned your brother. Do you still live near him, or he moved, or you moved?
I actually moved back to Kansas City. I'm in Johnson County, a suburb of Kansas City.
Nice.
And when my niece was born, he really wanted me to come back. So.
Aww.
So when I had the opportunity, I made sure I got moved back.
That's awesome. I like that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I couldn't imagine not being at least a part of their lives in some way. So it was important to me.
Cool, man. Is your brother older or younger?
He's older. He's cool. Like 2 years older.
Nice.
He's got the whole family thing going on and responsibilities.
Good for him.
Yep. I've got the cool girlfriend who lets me play video games a couple hours a night.
She sounds like a saint.
Oh yeah, she's got patience. Even though I had to like explain to you, like, who's the vagina monster? I'm like, I don't know, some loser. Like,
I don't know. Straight up lied to her.
Oh, absolutely. That was like 2 months later. She's like, you're playing with him again. I'm like, okay, I gotta be honest. That's me. Basically a big child. I will point out, when I was like 18, that was a way cooler name.
Oh, man. So it's been a long-standing tag.
Yeah.
I see.
You know, I got into Dota, the original, from Warcraft 3 mod.
Oh, so you're an OG.
That's when I started playing. Oh, yeah. Original all the way.
Wow.
Yep. I went over to a buddy's house for a LAN party.
Oh,
and a couple guys were playing this. They're like, it just came out and it's awesome. So I'm like, okay, well, that's probably stupid, but I'll play one game. And then they beat my ass and they're like, offended me.
Right.
And so much. I'm like,
you're a competitive dude. And you're like,
I'm
F
way
this.
Too competitive.
Never again.
Absolutely.
Never let pretty this much. Happen again.
Nope. I've been playing pretty much ever since. Like, I take time off, but no, I played so much Dota 1.
Damn.
It's one of those games that just never really fades away for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I've played all sorts of games, but this one I keep coming back to.
Man.
Well, hell, over 5,000 games. I better like it.
Yeah. 5,000. Man.
That's just Dota 2. I don't even want to know what Dota 1 was.
Yeah, that doesn't even count the other ones. Shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you up to in the suburbs there?
You know, just bought a house.
Congrats.
Why, thank you. I bought this house that needs a ton of work, so I've been like working my ass off on it the past like 3 months.
Nice.
And it's finally coming together.
What'd you do?
I think you had said you'd laid some laminate floors too.
Oh yeah, I did hardwood, baby.
Oh, you did. Okay, I was cheap. Mine was Home Depot 49-cent laminate floors, like per square foot.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've been great.
Yeah.
So we did that.
Nice.
I had to do most, like, redo the siding on the house. Rebuilt the chimney a little bit.
Ooh.
I didn't do that. Another guy had to do that.
I was gonna say, that sounds.
Oh, I wish that's that.
Yeah.
I don't want to mess with gravity. Like, I feel like I'm the guy who hits the ground and doesn't get back up.
Oh, man.
But no, we got new carpet put in.
Nice.
And we've put in, this past week, we put a new dishwasher, new oven.
Oh, man, you going ham.
Oh, we changed out all 3 toilets.
3 bath?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
4 bedroom, 3 bath.
So, oh, God.
But it was a project.
Yeah.
When I looked at this house... The only reason why I got it is because it scared everybody else away. Like, I walked in, they just let their dog go wherever it wanted.
Oh, my God. So that's why you did all the floors.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I talked to a couple friends. They're like, all you got to do is, so I put this kills down.
Oh, yep, yep. The sealant. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I just covered this entire house in kills. And it's been great. I haven't smelled a thing since.
Heck yeah.
I'm currently putting in a more washer and dryer.
Ooh.
So I'm learning how to do all kinds of fun things. Like the dryer has a 3-prong. Mine was a 4-prong. So
now
I'm learning how to take it out. And of course the screw ripped on the inside.
Oh,
so now
no.
I'm figuring out how to do that.
Dude, let me know what you find. Electric's not my thing.
Yep.
I just blew out an outlet in my garage, and I feel like a flipping idiot because I can't figure out for the life of me how to replace this outlet. So you get back to me on that.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's like the one thing I'm always kind of afraid to mess with.
Oh, dude.
Which luckily my brother is like a whiz at all that stuff.
Oh, cool.
So he's gonna help me put on like 4 fans.
Ooh.
And change out two lights.
Like overhead fans?
Yep.
Nice.
And then he's helping me switch out all these switches and outlets. So,
dude, I'm jealous.
He's coming through big on a lot of stuff.
What a man.
Yep. But no, it's pretty awesome. And besides that, I play a lot of sand volleyball.
Nice.
Like, it was one of those things that, like, I never thought I would enjoy. Like, yeah, it's fun. Okay.
Sure.
But no, it's way better on the knees.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
And you still get that, like, you get this as a college athlete, the competitive spirit.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm mad at you, I will spike a ball at your face. And I play with a bunch of guys who, like, played in college. And
nice.
They've all been doing this for, like, 20 years. So, like, my past, like...
They must be good, huh?
Oh, yeah. They're damn good. I know, like, Shane played professionally, so he was on the AVP tour.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah. He can put it down. It's that moment when you're like, yeah, I'm smashing. Then you see somebody else get up, like, 40 inches and just, like, straight down spike. Like, oh, well, son of a bitch.
Well, oh, fine.
Yeah. You be that way. Jeez.
You're like, whatever, I just earned 800 gold per minute.
Yeah, right? Did you not see that last Marana game? Like, I'm just tearing it up with Alk.
My struggle with, like, post-collegiate athletics, which is slightly different than volleyball, but maybe similar to basketball, is that, like, because it's a contact sport, it can be, like, somewhat dangerous if somebody's going too ham, you know? And so you have to, like, constantly balance, like, your competitive spirit with, like, real-world, you know, outcomes of, like, it's not yep. worth it. Like, I need to walk tomorrow.
Yep. I completely... Well, okay... Now, I'm curious about this, because everybody who played in college, when you got out with college, you tried to find similar competition, did you not?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And then you go out there and realize, not only is this not similar competition, but these people are dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going up for, like, a layup or a dunk, and I'm getting undercut.
Oh, yeah.
Like, every time.
And you're a big dude. Like, you don't want to be falling on hardwood.
No, like, not at all. Like, I don't pop back up.
No,
it's not just like, oh, it's fine. I did a flip. Like, no, yeah. I did a flip. Call an ambulance. Like, he's deep, broke his leg. Like, no, it was tough finding the competition.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, I would still play in some, like, college tournaments and stuff like that. That would have, like, traveling teams.
Sure.
I mean, I played with a bunch of guys who used to play professional, did an MBDL team for a while, and like, oh, yeah, this would be awesome. And then there's nowhere to play.
Yeah.
And suddenly you kind of fall into this whole, like, well, I probably need to stop doing this. Mm-hmm. What finally did it for me is I had gone back and done, like, an alumni game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was feeling it. It was one of those games where, like, you're just dominating.
Yeah.
And then, like, I had just dunked one. I was coming down. I just beat one off the glass.
Can I just take a moment and pause and just say, like, I'm so glad that somebody in our We Like Dota community can dunk.
Oh, God, I don't.
Mine's 5'8". So, like, it's always been a dream of mine.
Fair enough.
Anyway, sorry to sidetrack us.
No, I'm with you. That's, but it's that moment where you're just like, yeah, you're feeling good. You're feeling like you've got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I rolled my ankle. And it was like one of those bad ones. Like, it was a stage 3 ankle roll, like, sprained it. And they're like, yeah, you can't walk for a month. I was like, no, legitimately, like, I couldn't walk for a month. God. It was like 2 months of rehab. And then it hits you. Like, you don't train. Like, right. You used to run like 8 miles a day.
Yeah, you don't train. You don't have access to PT every day. It's not.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the same.
I mean, you're putting in miles.
Yeah.
Every single day. Like, I remember I used to eat like right around like 12,000 calories a day and I'd lose weight.
Wait.
And now.
12,000. Yeah, that's a lot of calories.
And now I'm probably like 3,000-4,000.
Right.
And I'm like, oh crap. Getting late. Oh no.
Yeah, man. It's all good. We're just, you know, riding off into the sunset.
Oh yeah. I can still do it. That's all that matters. I just can't do it for like 40 minutes. I need naps a lot. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, soccer is somewhat similar, but it really depends where you're at. So, like, now that I'm living in Pittsburgh, I don't know. I'm okay. About to start playing in an intramural league at University of Pittsburgh. So it'll be like college kids.
Nice. So
we'll see how that goes. That, I don't know. That could kind of go either way. Because, like, I'm sure that there will be a lot of kids there who are athletic and good at soccer. But at the same time, like, those kids are, like, 19, 20. Like, they're going to be, you know, tearing around.
Oh, yeah. Well, the best part's going to be when, like, you lay up, like, I can't get it. And then here comes this, like, 18-year-old, like, slamming his face on the ground, diving for it. It's like, huh, hey, good hustle, man.
I'm still waiting for the, like, I'm not sure exactly when this happens, but at some point in my life, I would like to have old man strength. So, like, you know, like, your dad or whoever in your life, like, he would always be, like, weirdly strong, and I'm still waiting for that to kick in.
Yep. Even now, I'm still like, I think I could take my dad, but I've seen him do some ridiculous things. Like, I remember once, like, I was helping him carry this big-ass TV. And it was, like, one of those big old, like, CRT TVs.
Yeah.
It was probably, like, 200 pounds.
Yep.
So he's holding one side, I'm holding the other.
Yep.
And, like, we carry it out of his room. Like, he gets, like, 10 steps. And he's like, oh, shit. I'm like, you okay? You got it? And he's like, ah, yeah, yeah, let's just do this. We walk down the steps, like 20 steps. We go down, like walk into the living room, put on the table. He like sits down and pulls out a tack he stepped on. Like a thumbtack. He just stepped on, it like lodged itself in his foot. And then he proceeded to walk down the steps holding like 100 pounds. Whereas I know I would have been like, oh, you don't understand, it hurts. Like, nah, he just went beast mode. Like it was nothing for a TV.
Yeah, like for no good reason. He just did
Yeah. And it's like he had surgery on his meniscus. He comes walking out of the hospital, like shooing away nurses in like a wheelchair. Like, I'm not walking on that. Like, he's got like a little limp to him. Like, he had surgery like 45 minutes ago. Like, I'm good. I'm good. Like, no, I think I would take the wheelchair. Like, yeah. He's still got that old man strength. Like, I'm not messing with that. Like, well, we're saving up for that one moment.
Well, God bless Mr. Odell, Papa Odell. What a man.
Oh, yeah. It's good to compare him.
All right, man. Let's wrap this thing up.
Sounds good.
Thanks for talking to us. It's been real.
Absolutely, man. This is fun.
All right. See ya.
See ya.